Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, so many restrictions have disrupted our lives since everything changed in March of last year. And for one cohort in particular, expectant mothers and their families, it's been a really tough year. Restrictions around hospital visits and supports have been difficult. But it seems that finally there's some light at the end of the tunnel for people involved with maternity services. Earlier this week, Dr. Peter McKenna, who's the clinical director of the HSE Women and Infants Health Programme, said, "I will be asking hospitals to have a closer look at their situation and hopefully they will consider themselves in a position to become more liberal." Well, that signal from Dr. McKenna has been broadly welcomed, and Evelyn O'Rourke has been finding out about this. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Claire.
Good to see you. You've been talking to many people involved in all aspects of maternity care services, and there is no doubt that across the board it's been really challenging.
It has, of course. I mean, we've known that for over a year now, pregnant women have had to attend scans by themselves, gone into labour by themselves, and navigate really through a vulnerable time and a complex situation, because you do have 19 separate maternity units in the country. Each of them has a completely different setup and infrastructure. They had to implement their own set of practices while keeping public health as that priority. So people's experiences seem to really depend on which birthing unit they were going to. And with hospitals beginning to open up more and more, it looks like this will continue, that your experience will really depend on which unit you are actually attending yourself.
So remind us then of the kind of restrictions that expectant mothers and their partners are experiencing. Firstly, the one that comes to mind when we think about this is the partners having limited access to the hospital.
Sure, and again, depends what unit you're in, but in general, partners haven't been attending the 12-week scan. Some doctors, I hear, have been recording the video for them to explain the scans. Partners are allowed in now, the 20-week scan. And when it comes to labour, in most cases, partners are allowed in once the woman is in active labour, which means a lot of people out in car parks waiting for the call. We'll hear a bit about that. But some parents I spoke to were fine with it. Their experiences were good and they understood the situation. But for others, it was a very tough situation. And those stories have been extremely moving. We've been hearing these stories, you know, on the airwaves. And campaigners say it's not good enough. The changes have to be rolled out nationally and consistently. So I start today, Claire, by talking to Linda Kelly, a mother of two. She had her second baby girl during the summer. She's a passionate advocate for this situation, getting involved with the Uplift Campaign for Change. And here she explains more about the situation.
I had a really negative experience in my first birth. And so my second birth, I was very, very anxious. Then I knew how important having my husband at the first birth was. So I knew exactly what I was going to miss. This time round, the first time round, I wasn't able to speak up for myself. I needed him with me. And there's no way to explain how much you need them in the room with you. Labour is so unpredictable. Pregnancy is so unpredictable. You don't know when you walk into the appointment what news you're going to walk out with. That's the truth for every woman going to an antenatal appointment or going into labour today. I thought that I would be the only one in my circle of friends who would have to go through it. And four of my friends have given birth since I have, and some of them first-time mothers. And I can't believe that it's still going on, that the men running the health service still haven't been able to put solutions in place for us.
Over the last few days, you know, as we've started to hear about some lifting of lockdown, there's been a lot of talk about maternity services and easing of restrictions. Your concern, though, is that each unit makes up its own decisions.
Absolutely. There doesn't seem to be any cohesive strategy for maternity services. I was so grateful to hear Dr. Peter McKenna come out at a NEFIT briefing and say that maternity units really needed to look at these restrictions, that the circumstances had changed massively between the vaccination of staff and the low levels of community transmission. And who's actually in charge here? Is it the health service or is it 19 different maternity chiefs running independent republics across the country?
That's Linda Kelly there. And Evelyn, this challenge of managing the safe maternity services during COVID, that's been a dominant theme for people working in the area. You've been speaking to people who feel that we need more imagination in the way we're handling the whole thing.
Yes, indeed. Dr. Cretia Lynch, Claire, is the chairperson for the Association of Improvements in Maternity Services, AIMS as their name. And she says that maternity services have always been under-resourced in Ireland, but that COVID has just widened that gap and the patients have found it difficult, and that she has women contacting her who are deeply frustrated at the restrictions. So here, Dr. Cretia Lynch from AIMS tells me more.
We have to realise now that there's a whole cohort of new parents that not only gave birth during lockdown, but have undergone their entire maternity leave in lockdown. And that's a very difficult thing for people to do. So in terms of the antenatal care, it's been particularly hard for first-time parents going in for scans on their own. And then by the time you've walked down 7 flights of stairs, gone down a lift, come out of the car park and met your partner, you kind of can't remember what you were told. And then people sit with that, perhaps for a month until the next visit. Of course, then you're looking into perhaps people who have had more difficulties at the end of the antenatal period and they've been on their own. And it's very hard because pregnancy is an exciting time, isn't it? It's a joyful time, but it's also a vulnerable time. And of course, that's very much compounded by the presence of COVID-19, which is sitting there like a specter all the time over pregnant people. But then we're talking about the labor itself. Anybody listening here, have a little thought to yourself if you've had a baby and think, could you actually absolutely define when you went into active labor? And so people come into the hospital, they think that they might be in active labor, and sure enough, they're not. Then there's a separation. The laboring person goes upstairs into the hospital, the partner gets left outside. It could be cold, you're sitting in a car. I did that recently. I was a support person for somebody, and I had to sit in a car for 3 hours outside.
There's been a lot of talk about the fact that there's been these very heavy restrictions. Then we got the little chink of light. What is the light at the end of the tunnel?
Dr. Peter McKenna said that they were going to be lifted and each hospital would be able to do its own thing. We had a national maternity strategy in 2016, and one of the main issues was to ensure that you didn't have units just doing their own thing. The whole point was to have universal access, universal decision making. So that would be something we would very much encourage the minister to do, to try and bring out some universally identified evidence-based guidelines.
Just going back to what you were saying earlier, though, Evelyn, people's experiences have largely depended on which maternity unit they're going to.
Yes, you get so many different stories, and I suppose that challenge is there now for them. Like, for example, the Rotunda Hospital in Dublin has just announced extended visiting hours that one nominated companion can visit for an extended period of time. So now, as this situation evolves, different maternity units are beginning to offer different solutions to this, I
suppose. And the positive experiences, the parents who were happy. You met a newborn, Donica, only 10 days old.
Only 10 days old. Yeah, I want to talk to people who've been through the process really recently to find out what their experience was like. So I got to meet baby Donacha and his parents, Catherine Wilkinson and Paul Tierney. And baby Donacha Clare was just born last Monday. He is a third child for the family. And his parents say that, you know, of course, while it was unfortunate that dad, Paul, couldn't meet some of the scans and he couldn't attend the labour maybe from the start, he drove around Dublin actually in the car waiting for the call to go in. But they say, look, we totally understood the situation and they are just so grateful and so happy that they're able to bring home their absolutely gorgeous, healthy baby from the Rotunda in Dublin. So I also got to meet Donacha's big sister, Alyssa, and big brother, Bobby, and they introduced me to baby Donacha. But then we'll hear a little more about the parents' experience from Catherine and Paul.
Here he is. He's doing great. We're delighted with him.
Who's this?
He's... I don't know his name again. Donacha.
He's your new baby brother. And isn't he gorgeous?
Gorgeous.
Yeah. COVID birth mom.
Yeah.
What are your reflections on it now?
For us, it was, who do we call at 2 or 3 in the morning? To mind the other two guys was our big thing, because I suppose you're worried about bringing grandparents up and the COVID risk with that. And then I suppose I was fortunate in that my labour was quite quick. So relatively speaking, I wasn't on my own for that long, really. For me, it was okay. The main stress was just organising, who do you call at 2 in the morning? And we're very fortunate to have a very supportive neighbour, Vanula and La Serena, who came over and looked after the guys for us, which is great.
People in the Rotunda, the staff, they're brilliant, you know. So I suppose this experience this time round was a lot different, all right. This time round, I would have just met Catherine after the appointments, so I wouldn't have gone in for the scans, but I definitely felt as involved as before. Our doctor, he was very good, so anytime I did meet him at the delivery, he'd take you through everything. They did the best of what they could, what they had. In the previous two, you know, I was doing the scans and stuff like that, and it was a great experience. I'd imagine it'd been awful if it was your first and you couldn't experience all that, so fortunately I've been there and done all that part of it, which was great, but definitely missed that this time around, yeah.
Now then, tell me about the delivery as such. You knew you weren't going to be allowed in at the start, is it?
Yeah, it's not till you get into reception that you realise, you know, you're very quickly one of those guys in the car outside the hospital. The anxiety does take over a little bit, and I was kind of texting Catherine and she was texting me, so it was very weird having that
to fill the time while you're waiting for that active birth bit, yeah, you actually just started driving around Dublin.
I just drove around Dublin, yeah. Because I was sitting in the car and I was kind of idle, I had the car running and I turned off the lights. But when I started driving, I forgot to turn the lights back on. I was pulling into a shop to get a sandwich and a guard van pulled up. The guard put down the window and he said, "So what are you doing?" And I said, "My wife's in the rotunda. I'm not allowed in there yet." And then over him, the guard in the passenger side said, "Oh, Jesus, fair play to you, boy. That's brilliant." When I got back to the hospital then, Catherine sent me a message. Security got me up there pretty quickly and there was a big relief being reunited again. And within 45 minutes, baby was born. Newborn son, Donica.
Ah, congratulations to Catherine and Paul. And a little baby noise at the start of that clip. Evelyn, we're all getting broody
here. I know. That was a decision to put that in, but
yeah,
I decided
gorgeous. Now, we know that maternity services, they're a unique part of the health service because there's two patients involved. You have new mum and the baby. And the maternity units say their priority has to be to keep everyone safe. And you've been speaking to Professor Shane Higgins, the master of the National Maternity Hospital at Holles Street, about that hospital's experience during COVID, just trying to balance everybody's needs.
Yeah, look, you know, Clary said they're acutely aware of the distress the restrictions have caused patients and they are, of course, currently reviewing their own policies in light of the improvement with the COVID situation, and he talked me through that. But he spoke in stark terms about the hospital situation last March and, you know, how frightening it was for everybody. I mean, he remembers ringing ventilator companies to see if they could procure them, and he's full of praise for his colleagues at the hospital who he said they all worked with vulnerable patients right through the worst of this. And he says, right, a year on, much more optimistic about the future situation, but still having to be so careful. And he points out the obvious things, like with Holles Street alone, it's an old building. The narrow corridors makes 2 metres distancing really impossible. So there are lots of elements to consider there. But he said he also welcomes the idea of pregnant women maybe being moved up the vaccination ladder. That was interesting to hear that too. So here Professor Shane Higgins, the master of the National Maternity Hospital at Holles Street, talks more about their situation.
If you take yourself back to February of last year, and I think there was a fear here that we were going to face a tsunami of a disease and illness and death. And I remember back to those days when we were phoning ventilator production companies to say, can we buy a ventilator? That's the kind of level we were at last March. And we felt that the infrastructure was so deficient in terms of what it was going to be able to provide. So over the course of about 8 weeks with our own internal building team, we developed a hospital within a hospital so that anyone who was behind the doors were being managed and nursed if they were COVID positive, but you could be standing outside the door without any PPE on and be perfectly safe. From that point onwards, we had the capacity to look after the well patients, but we also had the capacity to look after the very sick patients. That was the foundation stone of everything we did, was making sure it was safe, primarily for the patients, but also for the staff in the hospital. And I think we're in a very good place right now, and we further reviewed our visiting policy. We're all very aware of the importance of the birth partner in the experience, and really from the word go, we wanted as soon as possible to reopen the opportunity for partners to be present. And that's really where we are, and it's where we've been for a number of months now, where the birth partner, once the patient is established in labour, is welcome to come in. We've also facilitated partners being in for approximately 2 hours a day, every day after the birth. There's unrestricted visiting to our neonatal unit for both parents, and partners are allowed to come for the 20-week scan and have been since long before Christmas. I think, why has it suddenly become easier to do this? I think most of the staff of the National Maternity Hospital are now vaccinated. The fear factor associated with the heavy footfall is gone. You know, given the infrastructure, means that we just couldn't afford for all those people to be coming in and out for all the visits. But we did facilitate discretionary partner attendance. So if there was a patient possibly going to get some bad news, then the partner was always welcome. We're now looking at allowing partners into the emergency room if somebody's experiencing a pregnancy complication. So we are acutely aware of the distress this is causing patients, and it's not something that we would wish. We are doing our level best to make it safe for everybody.
That's the master of the National Maternity Hospital at Holles Street, Professor Shane Higgins, ending Evelyn O'Rourke's report.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.